can be very, very difficult. And but I know the Holy Spirit's already been working this morning, and this message he's pretty much preached already. And I'm just going to, you know, just follow after what's already been set as the theme. And I thank the Lord that he gave me this message this week that's right in line with what the Holy Spirit wants. And we're in Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Can you stand this morning for the reading of God's Word? And let's go ahead and give him a big hand today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Joshua, you might need to turn me down just a little bit. I'm a little hot up here. Thank you, Lord. This is the 30th message out of the book of Matthew that I've preached since we started this series, Follow Me. And I know there's been others who have spoken on this as well. So I've just been blessed to be able to share some thoughts with you out of the book of Matthew. And we're moving right along through it. We're in the 21st verse now of Matthew chapter 16. So let's begin reading there. This is where Jesus, in my Bible, it says, foretells his death and resurrection. How many of you know the headings of chapters and verses that are maybe in your Bible? They're not the inspired Word of God. They're just there for your reference. But verse 21 is, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. All those things are to fulfill Scripture. He's headed to the cross. The cross was never in any doubt in his life. The resurrection was also never in any doubt. Verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. So Peter rebukes Jesus for talking about suffering and death. Peter knows he's following Jesus and he don't want Jesus to go this way, because that means suffering and death for him too. Saying, be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, this is a stern rebuke. Get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense unto me. For you savor not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men, or of self. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Not asceticism, where you read about and you see where people torment their physical bodies in order to bring glory to God or obtain some kind of favor with God or his acceptance of them. But rather, it's the denial of your own strength, your own ability, your own self. And take up his cross. That literally means reap the benefits of the cross. It's not, you hear a lot of times people say things like, well, it's my cross to bear or whatever. That's not what Jesus is talking about. A lot of times we bear crosses that are not his cross. And follow me. For whosoever shall save his life or will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing's more important than the soul, because it's eternal. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels. He's talking about the second coming. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here. Now that's important to understand, because he says, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. And a lot of people say, well, he's talking about John the Revelator, John the Beloved, because he's the only one that doesn't die. He dies a natural death. And he sees Jesus, a vision of Jesus on the Isle of Patmos. But that's not what the Scripture says. He says, verily I say unto you, there be some. That means more than one. He didn't say there be one. He said there be some. And he's referring to what's about to take place next in their life. They're going to see Jesus transfigured. They're going to see him in his glory and his power and his majesty. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, God, for your word, God. We thank you, God, that your word is truth, God. Enlighten us today. Help me today to share, God, what you've given me that's in line with your spirit, with your desire, with your will, God. And I ask it, Lord, in your Son's holy name. Lord, and I also believe today, Lord, that you're doing a special work in people's hearts and lives, God. You're comforting them. You're binding. You're ministering, Lord, by your spirit. Lord, help us to receive all the things you have for us. Fill us up today, God, overflowing. We ask it in your Son's holy name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The greatest life is the Christian life. How many of you agree? It's the greatest. It's the best. I grew up in church. I got saved at a young age. And I believe that we're living as Christians the kind of life that we were meant to live. In fellowship with God, in communion with the Holy Spirit, worshiping the one who created us and has good things for us, a plan that we get to follow that he's outlined and laid out for our lives, a purpose for our lives. The Christian life is meant to be exciting. It's meant to be dynamic. It's meant to be diverse. It's meant to be radical. And it's meant to have a radical, a profound effect on the way you live your life. It's meant to have a radical effect on the way you look at life, on your outlook. And it's meant to be totally different than this world. A lot of Christians, a lot of believers are living a substandard Christian life. They're living below what God wants for them. And it's really an oxymoron to say that, a substandard Christian experience, because if it's Christian, it shouldn't be substandard. It doesn't make sense. You really can't be a substandard Christian. But still, there are a lot of Christians who live below that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They live below their inheritance. They live below what God has for them and his purpose, his plan for their life. Why is it that a handful of ordinary people turned their world upside down in a short amount of time? They did it without television. They did it without radio. They did it without the internet. They did it without all the, you know, millions and billions of dollars it seems like we have to be able to accomplish just a small portion of what they were able to accomplish. Without all the resources that we think are necessary today in evangelism. They were disciples. They were disciples of Christ. Spirit-filled, not living a substandard version of the Christian life. They were living a life as it was meant to be lived. As Jesus demonstrated, as the apostles or the disciples received it, and as the apostles taught it, as the early church experienced it. And if we're going to impact our world today, we must truly be his disciples. All disciples, this is important this morning, are believers. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. Jesus gave us the marching orders when he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. How can I make one if I'm not one? Are the qualifications of discipleship different than those of salvation? Have you ever thought about that? So let's look at the requirements of a disciple that Jesus gave us in Matthew 16. And if you're a reader like I am, no doubt you've read about this in your Christian reading. They talk about oftentimes, and sometimes it's preached about, the cost of discipleship. Well, this is what they referenced here, what Jesus said. These are the requirements if you're going to be my disciple. The first one is you have to deny yourself, Jesus said. He tells us if we want to be his disciples, we must deny ourselves. That's verse 24. So we can either live for ourselves, he goes on to say, or we can deny ourselves. We can ignore the cross or we can take it up. We can seek to save our life and ultimately lose it, or we can lose our life and ultimately find it. We can gain the whole world, or we can lose the whole world. We can lose our soul, or we can keep our soul. We can share in His reward and glory, or we can forfeit it in this life. The great barrier that Jesus is talking about of being His disciple is summed up in one word: self. Self. If you want to be His disciple, Jesus said, you must deny yourself. That is the opposite of what the world teaches. That's the opposite of what you see on social media. That's the opposite of what you see on television and in the news and in our quote-unquote heroes. The world says you need a positive self-image. The world says you need a greater sense of self-worth. The world says you need self-love and self-care and an increased self-esteem, right? Business Week magazine. How many of you ever heard of Business Week magazine? It's been around a long, long time. They did a survey. And they did a survey of the most popular Christian books, the ones that Christians buy and are marketed toward believers. And the most popular Christian books they discovered are ones that focus on self-esteem, self-fulfillment, and self-analysis. That's what this survey said Christians are most interested in and what they're reading the most. The least popular books they found are missionary biographies and books encouraging self-sacrifice. That's interesting. That's an interesting perspective coming from a secular worldly magazine. It tells a lot, doesn't it? One popular Christian author said, Christianity is an adventure of self-discovery that helps believers become aware of their innate goodness. Another one said, self-esteem is the greatest single need facing the human race today. A Christian psychologist wrote, the Bible makes people feel good about themselves. Many use it to teach they should hate themselves, but the Bible promotes psychological and emotional health. Apparently, this guy or gal has never read the book of James at all. James 4, 8 through 9 says, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, that means to lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Does God want us to feel good about ourselves when we're living in sin? No, no. Should I have a positive self-image if I'm walking in disobedience to God? No. What about self-esteem? Poor old Apostle Paul, he needs to get with the program here. He's got a lot to learn from us today, right? We've got it figured out. He wrote, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I know that in my flesh dwells no good thing. Think of what Paul could have accomplished if he just knew what we know today. If he just had a positive outlook, positive self-image, self-esteem, and all those things. He needed to take better self-care. Have you read in the Bible about that, the Pharisee and the publican? They both went to the temple to pray, and that poor tax collector wouldn't even lift his head. He just smote himself on the chest and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Poor guy. He had low self-esteem. He just needed a good, you know, a good feel-good sermon, right? And the Pharisee had great self-esteem and prayed, I thank God that I'm not like other men. Who did Jesus hear? Who did he say he heard? Whose prayer was heard? The man with the high self-esteem or the low self-esteem? That's right. Nothing has changed, folks. Nothing. The Bible says in the last days that men would be lovers of themselves. Prideful. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And on and on and on it goes. We're living in a time where there is great obsession with self. The whole world, the whole church, everything, God, Jesus died for self. For them, for their needs, for their accomplishments, for their goals in life. Everything is about me. This emphasis upon self has its roots all the way back in the garden. Going all the way back to when Satan came to Eve and he appealed to her selfish nature. And he said, go ahead and eat of this forbidden fruit of this tree. Because in the day that you eat of it, you're going to be as God, knowing good and evil. It was pride and it was arrogance that caused Satan, Lucifer's downfall. He said, I'll ascend up to heaven. I'll raise my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit on the mount of the congregation. I will be brought to the top of the clouds. And God says, no, you're going down to the bottom of the pit is where you're going. And I think we are obsessed with ourselves in this world today. The Bible defines self-love as our problem. I can think of so many examples this morning. Suffice to say that the Bible says that no man hates his own flesh. And you say, wait a second, we got to love ourselves more. Jesus even said, love your neighbor as yourself. He's teaching you should love yourself. No, Jesus is saying you already love yourself. You already love yourself. In other words, love your neighbor as much as you already are obviously in love with your own self. There are people that today that they'll say, and I've heard this, I don't love myself, I hate myself, I'm so ugly, I don't like the way I look, I don't like my personality, I have no talent, no ability, I have no gifts, I have nothing to offer anybody. Well, if you really hated yourself, then you would be happy about all those things. That's coming from somebody who loves themselves. They may hate their situation, but themselves they love, because if you hated yourself, you would say, I'm glad I'm ugly. You would say, I'm glad I have no talent. I'm glad I have a lousy personality, because I hate myself and I only want the worst for myself. Because you love yourself, you're upset because you're not the person you want to be. We all love ourselves. We're all the same. Now, is that good? No. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's the cause of untold hurts and heartaches in your life and in the church. That's why Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. He didn't say love yourself. He didn't say have a positive self-image. He didn't say you need to have great self-esteem. He said deny yourself, because that's the thing that gets in the way, the first thing. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Denying yourself is a daily work of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it in your own strength, but the Holy Spirit can do it through you, and it must be daily. Denial in the original Greek means to repudiate, to disdain, to disown, to forfeit, or disregard. C.S. Lewis wrote, the real test of your being in the presence of God is that you either forget about yourself altogether, or you see yourself as a small, dirty object. It's better to forget about yourself altogether. The question is, do I want His will more than I want my own will? But we as people don't see this as a negative thing. We think, if I deny myself, I'll have to give up all the things I find enjoyable. I can't have fun anymore. I have to have this sour expression on my face. Wear black all the time, you know, me and Johnny Cash. Going down into the ring of fire. That's it. I'm denying myself. I'm following Jesus. My life's over. Jesus says if you will deny yourself, you'll find life. If you'll deny yourself, if you'll lose your life, you'll find it. And you'll live the most joyful, effective, powerful life that is possible, because you're exchanging your life for God's life. That's a pretty good trade-in value. You exchange your plans for His, and you say, like Jesus, Lord, Father, not my will, but your will be done. That's a hard, hard prayer to pray, especially when you see suffering on the horizon. That'll bring you to the level, though, of life that as it is, was meant to be lived as a Christian. Will I have to give up anything? You may. You may have to give up a lot of things. Some people have to give up more than other people. But here's the thing. You don't have to give up any good things. Only bad things. And I can tell you this morning on the authority of Scripture, whatever you give up, He will put something better in its place. He'll put Himself in its place. Just take God's word on it. Trust Him. And as you lose yourself, you find yourself and you say, Lord, I want your plan for me. Amen. And His plan for us, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, is always good. So take up your cross, Jesus says, and follow me. The problem with self is that it desires things that are not the will of God. That's the problem. And we are to deny self in favor of His will. Second thing is take. Take up your cross, Jesus says. Deny self, take up your cross. What did He mean when he said take up your cross? He means that you partake of the benefits of what He did at Calvary. It simply means to do the will of God. Taking up your cross is doing His will. Taking up the cross is walking in obedience. That's what taking up the cross is. It's not because you don't like your mother-in-law and that's your cross to bear. It's walking in obedience to God. And the cross, the disciples knew exactly what He was talking about. They were under Roman occupation. The cross... was hated, it was despised, it was a symbol of cruelty and death and suffering. The Romans saved the crucifixion for the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low. And they lined the roads leading to their cities with people nailed to trees. It was a humiliating torture that ultimately led to your death. So when Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross, they knew exactly what he was talking about. That's why Peter was like, no, no, Lord, be it far from you to go this way. That was Peter's self talking. He saw suffering on the horizon for himself. He saw pain on the horizon for himself. He saw sacrifice in his future. They knew exactly what he was talking about because the cross means the same thing to everybody. It speaks of dying to self, of putting God's will before your own will. It speaks of exchanging your life for his, our plans for his plans. And when we stop trying to seek our own life in our own way, and we instead seek him in his way and the life that he wants to live through us. Everybody you know, everybody you've ever met, is trying to find purpose in life. The meaning of life, the purpose of life. We know the purpose of life is to know God, to know his son Jesus, to know the Holy Spirit. Job 22:21 says, acquaint now thyself with him, with God, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. That's the purpose of life, to know God. A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about you is the thoughts that come to your mind when you think of God. The best life to live is the Christian life. And to live that Christian life most effectively, we must take up our cross and follow Jesus. And don't think that it's a horrible negative life. It's wonderful. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's through death to self that we find life unto God. It's through exchanging our plans for God's that we live our best life now. Samuel Rutherford said, the cross of Christ is the sweetest burden I ever bore. It is a burden to me such as wings are to a bird and sails are to a ship to carry me forward to my harbor. It's when I lay at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, I want your life, not mine. I want your plan, not mine. That's when you began to live life as it was meant to be lived, this Christian life. When I lay aside my personal goals, my own desires, my own ambitions, it's then that God will begin to reveal to me his desires, his plans, his goals, all those things he has for me. Don't be afraid to say, Lord, I want to be your disciple. Don't be afraid to pray that prayer. Don't be afraid to deny yourself, because as you deny yourself, you're going to find yourself. And that's an expression we hear a lot today. I'm trying to find myself. Marriage is ending in divorce. Well, I'm trying to find myself. Children leaving the home. Getting into all kinds of trouble in this world. Well, I'm just trying to find myself. Jesus said, lose yourself and you'll find life as it was meant to be lived. You'll find your purpose in life, and then you'll be able to fulfill that great calling that I've given you, the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20. We should all know this one. Without even having to read it, Jesus said, all power or all authority has been given me in heaven and in earth. Go you, therefore, and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe or obey all things as I have commanded them. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. Third thing this morning is I want to point out a couple things really quick about the Great Commission before I close this thing out. First of all, it's a command. How many of you know that? It's a command. That's why we call it the Great Commission and not the Great Suggestion. Right? Jesus did say, look, if you're in the mood, he didn't say, you know, if you would work it into your schedule this week, pencil me in. He didn't say, if you can make the time. Or he didn't say, you know, Ron, if you would just do me a solid, just do me a favor this week, would you consider going into the world and making disciples for me? He commanded us to. He commanded you to do it if you're his child. It is a command in the original language. Second, these words were not given to the original 12, nor are they for the fivefold ministry or leaders in the church. They're for everybody, all of us, every follower of Jesus. If I'm his disciple, let me say this as perfectly, as clear and concise as I can. If I am his disciple, I am commanded to go and make disciples of others. Otherwise, Jesus says, I am neither his disciple or his follower. Do we understand? It doesn't mean I need to cross an ocean, but maybe I need to cross the street. Maybe I need to cross the room. Maybe invite somebody to church at least, or look for opportunities to share Christ. Tell somebody what he did for me and what he did for me, he'll do for you. Everybody you meet is searching for the same thing. They're searching for purpose. They're searching for meaning in their life. So what does it mean to make disciples? Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. That simply means I model it for them. I demonstrate for them in the way that I live my life, and I verbalize it. I communicate it to them. The best growing churches, notice I didn't say the fastest, I didn't say the biggest, but the best, the healthiest growing churches are those where the people of that church are actively telling people about Jesus, the wonders that he's doing in their midst, and how they can be a part. Those are the best growing churches in the world. Acts 2 and 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came. Maybe the multitudes aren't coming because we're not noising it abroad. May God help us this morning. See, this is the best trade-in value, the best deal that there is going. As I give my plans, my goals, and my future, he will exchange them for all the things he has for me. He says, I know my thoughts. I know what I'm thinking when I think of you. And they're good things. They're blessings. They're a future and a hope. God has a great future for you. He has something good for you. His thoughts towards you, the Bible says, are thoughts of peace. And I challenge you today, would you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not just a fair weather follower, not just a seasonal saint, not just a casual Christian, not just, I learned this week, a pew potato. Have you ever heard of that? That's a new one. Write that down. That's good. A couch potato? Yeah, we have pew potatoes today. Would you be his disciple? Would you be willing to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow him? If you don't do those three things, Jesus says, he said, you cannot be my disciple. And the people who don't do those things are not his disciples. They're not following Jesus. I don't want us to deceive ourselves, because the Bible says that's the characteristics of the last days, is we are self-deceived and deceiving others in the process. Would you be his disciple? Would you take up your cross and follow Jesus? No matter the difficulty, no matter the circumstances. Because we have the assurance in following him. If we follow him, that means he's gone before us and he's already made a way. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to say, Lord, please bless my plans. Or, Lord, please make a way where there seems to be no way. Well, if you're not following Jesus, there might not be a way. And if you're not following him, he's not going to make a way for you to go further. But you have the assurance, if you're following Jesus, that he's going before you and he's already opening those doors. And you can keep moving forward. Would you be his disciple this morning? Please stand with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, we know, Lord, we know, and I have felt like Peter. So many times, Lord, be it far from you to go, let's not go this way, God. Lord, surely this is not what you would have for me. But Lord, the path for every child of God, Lord, every follower, every disciple leads to that cross. And God, we profess to be Christians, Lord. We go as far as getting baptized in water, Lord, saying, God, we identify with Jesus. We've died to self. And that person who comes up out of that water, Lord, we're not the same anymore. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we don't want that to ever become a hollow profession of our faith. Make it real, God, in the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, this world is trying everything to get us to focus on ourselves. And the one thing I've learned, God, from your word is that it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about you. So Lord, I know from the very onset, God, of your word, that if I'm making it about me, Lord, I'm not reading this thing right. Lord, and I'm not walking this thing out right if it's all about me. Lord, help us to deny ourselves. God, we know we can't add to what you accomplished, what Jesus accomplished at Calvary. We're not adding to that, God, or taking away from that. We're resting in that. We're counting on that. We're trusting in that. We're walking by faith in that, God. Lord, and we're taking up our cross, Lord. We're walking in obedience to you and to your word and to your will. And God, we're following you. We're obeying your commands, God. We're walking by faith wherever you lead us. And we have the assurance, Lord, that you go before us. And we can walk in victory. Lord, we give you praise and glory today. Lord, I pray that each and every person under the sound of my voice determines today, I will be his disciple. Lord, I will be your disciple. I will be your disciple. Help me, Holy Spirit. I will be your disciple. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just lift your hands this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Spirit do it this morning. Lord, I will be your disciple. Oh, Jesus. Help me to deny self. Take up my cross and follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, let me die to self today. Your word says, he that is dead is freed from sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you for it, God. We thank you for it today, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, let us receive this life. Hallelujah. Resurrection life. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We worship you, Lord. We glorify you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. We praise you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we sing your praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord today for His Holy Spirit. It's a disciple-making spirit. Everything I said last week, everything God has for you is in the Holy Spirit. Get all of Him that you can. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's the disciple maker, folks. He's the disciple maker. Praise you, Jesus. Brother Dennis, will you dismiss us this morning, please?